Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk some Disney news, and in honor of Disney Starlight, we're going to talk about the Disney nighttime parades. That's coming up today on Traveling with a Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 502, canon, of Traveling with a Mouse. My name is Adam, and I am joined by John.
On this magic night.
A million stars are out tonight. Isn't that,
lay beside us? I can't remember how it goes.
What was it?
Very good. That was probably one of the best, I'm just saying.
Nighttime spectaculars.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. I've heard good things about Starlight. We shall see. I'm planning on going to see it this week. Ooh, you're repping your team Skyliner. No one can see that. I can see it, but
yes,
you can get it at travelingwiththemouse.com. Look on the merch link. You can get yours there. So, looks cool. You're repping.
Perhaps we could start coming up with a way, and let's put this on YouTube with a video of us. You think people would want to actually see us?
If we actually had, you know, well, I guess I have this in the background, but I need to have better.
We need to use the
green screen
wallpapers, whatever. It's too bad it couldn't look more like the AI studio.
Right. Oh, the right. Yeah, yeah. We need a fake studio that can be built. Yeah.
If we put enough pictures of ourselves out on the internet, they'll eventually be able to recreate us. So we can just pretend like it's us. We'll just give the audio.
Right now, AI video is only 8 to 10 second videos at a time. So that would take a million different prompts.
I don't know. I've seen plenty of Yeti videos that are longer than 8 seconds.
Yeah, but they string them together. If you notice, they're 8 second clips that are strung together.
Oh, is that how they're doing it? Okay.
Yeah, that's how they're doing it. But anyway. Let's talk about some Disney news before we get into the nighttime stuff, shall we?
Must we?
Oh, okay.
Huh?
Must we?
Well, there's some significant things to talk about.
Yeah,
we must.
The main story to talk about.
Go ahead.
Is the Sorcerer's Hat is coming back to Disney's Hollywood Studios. Aren't you excited?
Are you serious?
It is, yeah.
I haven't seen that.
It doesn't look as gaudy as when it was in front of the Chinese theater.
Why?
Well, Disney announced today that the animation courtyard is going to get a revamp for 2026. So it's going to close September 25th of this year, and it's going to reopen at an unknown date in 2026. But they're basically going to be celebrating Disney animation in the animation courtyard. The best part about this is that Launch Bay is going away. So, does anybody ever go in there?
Oh, anymore? Okay.
That's all it is. And then the courtyard's getting a revamp too.
So is that where the hat's going to go?
Yeah. So in front of where the current Launch Bay, the giant Star Wars Launch Bay sign is going to have the Sorcerer's Hat on top of it. And it's going to say animation. At least that's the concept.
Well, then that's good news, because I would really love for them to bring something animation related back there like they had from a long time ago.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if they had an actual studio there again. But
right, I was going to say that. I doubt that's going to be it at all, but it does say Disney animation artists and Walt Disney Imagineers are working hand in hand to bring the wonder and nostalgia of Disney animation films to the whole courtyard and improve in new and immersive ways that your family will love. We can't wait for you to experience it in 2026. The biggest difference, though, that is noticeable is the arches going away. The Hollywood Studios arch that you complained about recently having
arch is going away? They're just bulldozing it?
Yeah, in this concept art, the arch is gone. And it's an open... I think it is a little confusing because it's a very small walkway to get from there to, say, Toy Story Land from there. If you're, this is a very odd way to get from
maybe
the main area to Toy Story Land, right? Going through that arch, it's a very narrow arch. So they're going to open that up.
Okay. So if they though, on the other side, you know, there's a dip to go behind where, like, there's a different, like, they're on two different levels is what I'm trying to say. Because, you know, there's that ramp.
Oh, right. Yeah, that goes
down. You know what I'm talking about? That goes directly behind Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
They don't mention that area. They don't show that area. It's just the arch area.
Okay.
That's getting changed, so.
It's just like, I'm not really sure. You've probably seen this before in photos, if you look it up, and I may have brought it up before. The old area at Disneyland where Pirates is, you know how now there's like an overpass almost? I mean, it used to be, like, you literally, the concrete would literally went up to the door. I don't know how they did all that or why they did all that, but it used to be completely, like, for real. Like, if you look at that video when they opened Pirates, basically, you know, the special that they had on television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The audience, I guess, or the guests there, they're literally walking up to the door, like, on the concrete. Mm-hmm. And I know when I got there and saw it in person, I'm like, this is different.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, this isn't right. This isn't what I saw on TV all those years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's as far as the
queue, I'm assuming.
I guess. I don't know. But they made it where you went upstairs and everything and went around. But, like, you literally just, like, walked right into the door. It's pretty much what they did. Yeah. I'm sure the line went outside. Maybe they found a better way to do the line through doing that. It probably had other purposes behind it. But anyway.
Yeah. Disneyland frequently has issues with having to extend those queues when it gets busy. Like, on the 70th anniversary day, I was watching some vlogs from that day, and, like, Pirates was all the way to, like, Frontierland or something. It was ridiculous how long the Pirates line got, and Haunted Mansion too, that kind of stuff.
Some things at Disneyland are just, there's a lot of areas that are just so tight.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, very tight.
Because, like, for instance, I remember going there, and it was like the Swiss Family Treehouse is literally, like, right up against the Pirates building. Or, excuse me, not the Swiss Family, when it was Tarzan at the time. I guess the Swiss Family again, but
right.
At the time it was Tarzan. It was like laying against the Pirates building almost.
Yeah, everything was amazingly close together there. It's funny how. Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know how I got to Disneyland on that one. Let's see. How did I make that leap? Oh, yeah, we're talking about the different levels back there at Hollywood Studios. My bad.
Yeah,
it's okay, though. It's a Disney podcast. It was at least Disney. I didn't jump totally off the board.
Right. So it's talking about, back to that, you know, launch bay is closing, but in that building it says, besides the sorcerer's hat going to be there, it says inside you will interact with and explore silly takes on the iconic Disney Animation headquarters, including the many different studio departments. Only this time some of your favorite pals have taken over to create fun adventures. Pretty vague,
some of my pals.
Right. So the concept art shows a lot of different characters. I'll get to that. But it says you'll see portraits come to life before your eyes, just like they did once upon a studio. You'll find inspiration with a short film, and you'll even pencil in some time to learn how to draw your very own character sketch. So are they moving that from Planet Watch to back to Hollywood Studios here or something?
I guess. You know, I really liked it back when they had the, you know, they had the drawing classes, basically. You know, I wish they would go back to doing that, even though there's not too much animation done by hand anymore. Because they used to do it on the cruise ships, too. I don't know if they still do, but they would have, like, a class with, like, they were, like, going to draw a specific Disney character. Right. And they would show you how to draw it.
Right.
And they did the same thing in those classes over there at Animation Studio before they changed it to Launch Bay.
Right. I did one of those, I guess it was Festival of the Arts. They usually do that too there at Epcot. They'll do one. Yeah. And then Rafiki's Planet Watch currently has that one that they do, which is like the only reason to go over there.
They had it out in California too. Whenever I was there, but that was like 13 years ago when I was last at Disneyland. Yeah. So I don't know if they still have one there or not. I'm trying to remember where it was located now. I want to say it was in California Adventure somewhere, but I don't remember where.
Probably. That would make sense. Probably in the studios area, but whatever.
Yeah.
That was the time I got in Justin Scard's video. Remember that me and my son were.
Oh, yeah.
We were doing the drawing, and we ended up in his video because he even showed.
But was it like a class led drawing, right?
Yeah, it was.
Like they showed you. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And they showed it on a screen where you could copy it where the artist was doing. This is the other thing, though, that's coming to that courtyard area. It says the youngest animators can explore the Drawn to Wonderland playground filled with an oversized flower garden with musical instruments, a Mad Tea Party playset, and a Tolgi Wood exploration area. It says all inspired by Alice in Wonderland concept that from Disney legendary artist Mary Blair. So, it's indoors, so it's not indoor. So it's an indoor play area. So, interesting. So we'll all be in that building.
Wait a minute, what does Star Wars have to do with this? An indoor player?
Well, so my kids love these playgrounds whenever they build them. So I think that's a great idea, actually, to have some kind of area for the kids to just run around in the air conditioning.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I kind of wish I had actually gone through or just at least walked through the Honey, I Shrunk the Audience play set that they used to have. I never even went in there, I don't think.
I think you did. I did right before they closed it, but I mean, obviously I was too big to play on it at that point. Maybe I did as a kid.
For some reason, I was thinking you did as a kid, but...
I may have, yeah.
By the time they brought that around, I was like a teenager, I think. So I probably would have felt weird about going through it, but yeah, at the time.
That would have been weird. I remember like a giant roll of film or something that you could slide down or something. That was there.
Didn't they have Auntie in there somewhere?
Yeah, I think so. And there was tall grass and stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember parts of it.
It was a neat concept. Hopefully.
Yeah, I think it was. And I think this will be cool too, so... I think my kids would love it, even though they're kind of getting too old for playgrounds now, but they would have loved that. So that was the big news that came out well in advance of D23's. So does that mean we're going to hear stuff that we haven't gotten any information on yet?
Well, I think for technically the third year in a row, yeah, we're going to get more information on the stuff that they're actively doing.
Right.
Because think about it. The first year it was Blue Sky. Last year it was, the comment made was Earth has been moved. I mean, what's going to be the comment this year?
Right.
I mean.
Well, everything's closing, so they better be doing something.
Earth is being moved right now. Is the comment that was made, I think. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
Right. Here we are, almost a full year later, and very little progress, seemingly. Now things are just closing.
I mean, there's a lot of land being cleared behind the scenes for all this stuff that's starting to take place. I think Animal Kingdom is probably the one that's the most, the Encanto, Tropical America is
the most clear.
The most, action seems to be happening. Other than Lakeshore Lodge, because that thing is flying together very quickly. That is rising above the ashes of River Country very quickly.
Rise.
It is. Rise up. It is, yeah. There's not a ton of other news that's all that exciting. I thought that one was cool, but Test Track's obviously reopened. It soft opened, as did Disney Starlight. You know, crowds have been pretty low, so I guess it's not a surprise that they just were like, let's just open it to everybody.
And it didn't, the waits didn't get as high as you would think, right? I know I saw it 90 minutes or whatever at one time, but I mean, that could have happened on a regular day with Test Track.
That's true. This is true.
Nothing special about,
I was waiting to see if people have found Lightning Lane drops for Test Track yet. It's only day one, I'm sure that I know people have been scanning to find, see if there's any drops, but
I'm kind of curious. And I felt like it's, for whatever reason, I feel like the overall, the car, the one thing that's different is the cars are, or the, it's, it seems like people move through it a little quicker. Have you noticed that? Like if you just compare videos,
it looked like the beginning to me did maybe,
but test track, it's got like a less than 10 minute runtime now. If you're talking just attraction parts.
So what was it before though?
Well, if you include the pre-show with the car and everything, it was probably well above that. It was probably at least 17 minutes. It was probably way up there.
Well, you mean if you counted the build your car thing? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they took that out.
Right.
It was completely unnecessary. I think what they've decided with this is people actually, if you're going to do a pre-show, make it good, for instance. And even then, people get kind of tired of it. They just want to get to the attraction nowadays, it seems like. I think that's the current audience's feeling, and I think they're testing that theory out with Test Track. I can't tell where that has made any significant impact on the lines yet, but we'll see how it goes.
So just scanning some forums, I see there's definitely some drops that were found for Test Track today. And the ride actually was down. I don't know if it was weather related or not this afternoon. It could have been, but that's good to know. There's,
well, I mean, even if it was down, I mean, it's not like, I mean, that's been its reputation for the past 26 years as it has downtime. So I mean, if they manage to improve on that, that would be awesome, but I just find it hard to believe.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Speaking of weird things like that, I mean, the door, that's what I made the comment of. I was like, for the past 26 years, that was like the one effect that like never failed. And then they revamp it this time and it fails. I mean, like,
right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I don't know if they changed it altogether or how it works, but.
Did they try a new mechanism out with it? I mean,
maybe.
But seriously, like, you never heard, I don't ever recall a story of it of that failing to open and it being hit. I would think that would have, I think that would have been reported, don't you?
Yeah,
I mean,
that would have been heard about, yeah.
So it managed to for 26 years almost, or right at it.
And then.
Actually, it's over 26 years. Yeah.
No.
Works like a charm. It never failed. And then they revamp it and then it fails. I mean, I don't understand that.
Yeah. Go figure.
How do you screw that up?
Right. I've tried not to watch any videos of it since. Like, I watched it once, but I've tried not to see. I wonder, did they fix it or is it still just open?
Oh, right, no, it's just hanging open.
Okay.
I've seen videos.
All right.
So they're just leaving it completely open. It really doesn't ruin anything, I don't think. Not too much. Especially now since...
Well,
I mean, let's be honest. In the original one, the whole concept, it mattered because they were faking you out like you were doing a crash test, right?
Right, right.
So it mattered in the first one. But it doesn't really matter now. I mean, does it? I mean, because they're not doing a crash test.
Yeah. The only thing I would wonder is that effect is during the day, would too much light come in to ruin the effect of the projection all over the ceiling or whatever that they're doing.
Well, I guess you'll find out.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, that's the plan.
I'll just put it this way. From the video that I saw, I didn't feel like it was ruined by it. I think I would prefer it to work and prefer it to be there.
But, yeah.
And the question now is this going to be like the Yeti? Is it going to go to the Yeti status? Is it right?
Right. Though, like, yeah, is it going
to
be...
like, they're just going to leave it there. But it's not going to bother trying to fix it. Really? Disco door.
We'll call it. Well, I'm looking at posted wait time versus actual wait time, or it says average wait and the posted wait. So the peak today, it got to 150 minutes.
Ooh, that's pretty rough.
But that was only from 9:12 a.m. until about 9:28 a.m., and then it dropped to 120. And then
was that the official posting?
Yeah, that's the Disney's wait time.
Okay.
The average reported wait time, however, was 52 minutes at that point.
Yeah.
And
that's what I was going to say. I think Disney purposefully jacks the wait up at opening because they kind of set the time at an anticipated, and then they adjust afterwards.
And you can see they also inflated at the end of the day. It peaked back at an hour and 120 minutes, 2 hour wait at 7:15 PM. But the actual wait was about 57 minutes. So,
yeah, I wonder, are they inflating the wait times near the end of the day to try to discourage people from joining you think?
Oh, totally.
Is that their reasoning?
I think that's a given for most of the major rides for sure.
Yeah.
They do it for Tron. They do it for Guardians, I'm sure. They do it. Because for one, the cast members have to stay
late, yeah.
I guess, or as long as there's people in line, you know.
I think for some attractions, it's a bit of a tough sell. Like, you couldn't put, like, an hour on Small World or something at the end of the night and people believe it.
They're not gonna beef up the wait time on that. So, I'm looking at the stats today. This is day one of the official test track being open. It said there were three different delays today, so I guess the total downtime being 216 minutes.
Oof.
And not sure. It could have been weather related because it definitely closes in the weather.
That is one thing, yeah, because it has to.
So there's probably some of that. It said average delay duration was 72 minutes. It said the best time to ride was either first thing in the morning, no shock, or 1 p.m. or the late afternoon.
You know, this would probably be pretty expensive to do if they ever decided to do an overhaul with that. But with all the screens that you have nowadays, what if they had made the launch completely enclosed and used just like a screen during all that? You know what I mean? Let's completely enclose that speed part instead of going out, instead of having it completely outdoors.
At least cover it.
But use a giant tunnel screen like they do at the very beginning there of some kind.
How expensive would that be?
Oh, I'm pretty sure it would be a pretty penny.
How long is that portion? It's a very long portion of track there.
It would be like it's the same price as about an eighth of an inch of monorail track.
Probably. Okay. Fair enough. Taking shots of the monorail, I see. Always. Well, when I booked this trip, it was within a week, right, of test track reopening. So I checked Friday, which was the, I guess, first full day of my trip, and test track was already completely gone for Lightning Lanes. So I moved my Epcot day to Saturday, and I got an afternoon test track. And I looked at Sunday, and it was also an afternoon times, but it was around 1 p.m. or so. So
sounds like you probably could have waited in line and done just as well, almost.
Maybe, but I'd rather have a Lightning Lane than not, just in case. Because it's probably going to go down at some point, and at least I'd have priority getting back in line. So
at least you'd have a multi.
Right. But I looked at Ratatouille, which was the one that usually got eaten up, and it was still at like 10 a.m. So clearly everybody's grabbing test track and holding it. So,
right.
Of course.
So they left test track on a tier two.
No, it's tier one.
Oh, it's tier one?
You mean? Mm-hmm. That's why Ratatouille is so. I think it's, was it test track?
No, wait a minute. So how many tier ones are there?
I think it's test track, Frozen, and Ratatouille now. I think if I remember right, they bumped Soarin' down. Was Soarin' was in its place?
I thought Soarin' was already a tier two.
It may have been. I thought there was something else that was a tier one that was like not really a tier one, but
anyway, Living with the Land, right?
Yeah. It may have been Soarin'. Anyway.
Did they move Frozen to tier two? Surely not.
No, Frozen's still a tier one because I saw that one.
Well, that's the thing. I would think Frozen would also have more availability than it used to now, at least temporarily.
Yeah. But Frozen.
It's kind of getting some age on it.
Right now, Frozen is still available at 9:45 a.m. on that day.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's kind of getting some age on it, and it's unfortunately not that reliable.
Well, it's an old ride, essentially.
Well, it
wasn't that reliable from getting out of the gate. You know, there was always something that wasn't functioning the way it was supposed to. Usually Olaf.
Yeah, that's true. That does have issues.
Yeah.
The first one is what you're talking about, right? The first
Olaf. Yeah, the opening scene, Olaf is quite frequently like oddly staring at Sven or, you know, something.
Yeah.
His mouth isn't moving. Right. His mouth isn't moving. I don't know. There's always stuff.
Well, it's going to look here.
I feel like that one frequently pops up on the, you know, on the TPM vids when they do the ride breakdowns. I think that one frequently is one of the, one of the 10. Yes.
Yeah. I've seen the B-mode Elsa too a few times.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we talked a lot about that. Starlight, I guess we'll transition into the nighttime parade stuff by talking a little bit about it. I've tried to stay away from watching too much of this too, because I want to see it in person. I've also heard a lot of people say the, like, watching it on YouTube, the colors don't really come through, as depending on who you're watching, probably.
Oh yeah. Speaking of which, like, when you said that about YouTube, there are a couple of people who have sophisticated enough equipment and use color grading. I used to would say the Diz did back when Craig was still there.
Yeah,
he did some of the best videos. Yeah. 4K WDW is usually another one. I don't know if you've seen that one, that channel.
Right. I have.
They have usually some of the best color graded pictures, I think. That guy I emailed him one time a message. I'm not going to reveal it because I'm sure he doesn't just want to give that information out to anybody, but I actually asked him what type of camera equipment he uses, and he told me.
He didn't
want to throw it out there on like in the comment section. I actually made it in the comment section, but he said email me or whatever, message him, and I did, and he answered. So I appreciate the quality that he tries to put in, truthfully.
Yeah. So other than his, if you just watch like a vlogger's stuff, it's probably not gonna be as good as seeing it in person.
No, because their main goal is not to make sure that they get the best like ride footage possible, right? Their main goal is
possible.
Right. Yeah. Although there are a couple that do try to have it looking as good and sounding as good as they possibly can. I think sometimes they pay a little too much attention to that because most people don't care when it comes to the vlogging part. You know, I've seen several people be just as successful using their latest iPhone to vlog with, and people don't even know the difference. So,
right. Well, there's a couple of cool effects I saw. I like the last float with the new character Whimsy, but I'll wait and see. I'm trying to decide where I should try to view this from. I've been thinking about it. I don't know. Should I watch it from Main Street, from the plaza, from front of the castle? Should I watch it in Frontierland or Liberty Square? I don't know. I'm trying to decide.
You know, I found one of the better angles to me in Main Street is if you can get a spot on the right, like the right entrance side coming up and kind of in that curve where because they come around that side first.
Mm-hmm.
So as it's coming around the first curve, you can see the stuff like face on, straight on, like head, you know, you're like you're meeting it someone head on. So I feel like that's a good spot.
Confectionery, like in front of the side?
No, literally the right entrance, like right there.
Oh, like under the tunnel.
You don't have to be under the tunnel. You come from that side.
That's what I mean.
I feel like more people choose the left side is the only reason why I say the right side too. But it also starts the circle on that side. It doesn't go the other way, right? Because it has to go in the barn.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a good place.
I thought about that too because the bathroom is behind you. Bathrooms from the fire station are behind you.
So when it's over with you.
I may have to like make a run with.
Wait a minute. The fire station's on the other side though, what I'm talking about.
So you are talking about the confectionery set. I'm confused.
Wow. Well, yeah, I'm talking about right there at Tony's.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
No, I'm talking about literally right there at Tony's. I said the right entrance. When I say the right entrance, I mean literally like you come out of the tunnel, you can walk up to the curb and watch it from right in that section.
Right, right.
I've also gotten, for filming wise, I've also gotten up on top of the Main Street station and done it from there.
Which... I think they're doing some refurbishment up there. Yeah. I don't know. You have to get up there early, I'm sure.
Yeah. And if you have a good zoom, that's a good area. But if you don't, it's obviously not.
Yeah. You're not super close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Well, speaking of nighttime parades, I mean, this one obviously is getting some good reviews. I don't know if it's going to be the best necessarily, but I was thinking back through some that I've seen. Again, I haven't seen all the nighttime parades throughout all the parks, but I've seen probably the best ones, I would argue. And I also asked AI to rank them and give its opinion on one was the best. So I'm curious.
Specifically your AI, your girl.
Yes, not just, there's not just one AI, there's multiple AIs. But so, of course, going all the way back, we really have the electrical water pageant to thank for nighttime parades. You know, that was what inspired the Main Street Electrical Parade, which really started the whole thing of nighttime traditions. So that was the other thing too. Like song wise, I know which one I'm going to say is my favorite, but Baroque Hoedown is classic. You can't deny the Main Street Electrical Parade theme. It's a little outdated probably, but it's pretty classic, right? Classic as far as soundtracks go.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, it's the OG when it comes to
most recognizable parades.
Yeah.
All right. So going all the way back to the beginning, 1971, of course, Electric Water Pageant debuted in October. And shortly thereafter, in 1972, the summer of 1972, the Main Street Electrical Parade debuted at Disneyland in California. And then Disney World got it, I believe it was 77 to 91.
Here's the thing I've never entirely gotten about that. Why move it? Why not just have two of them?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, that's a good question. Don't know.
I mean, I actually just asked, I like to use Grok personally. I just asked him to rank the ones from all time. He only gives me 5.
Yeah, I think mine did a top 5 too.
Yeah.
But so for Magic Kingdom, Main Street Electrical Parade, that's the one I've seen the most, obviously, because, well, that and Spectrum Magic, but Spectrum Magic was probably, well, I'll get to that, but it started in 1991 and ended in 2010. I think, gosh, was that a longer run than Main Street Electrical Parade? I think the Main Street Electrical Parade came back after,
if you count all of the, if you count all the comebacks.
Yeah, right.
I mean, total.
Yeah, if you count like the total, well, it lasted 6 years after that. And then it says in 1999 to 2001, Main Street Electrical Parade came back.
Yeah.
For a brief
stint. That sounds about right.
And then
I seem to recall that.
I remember seeing it in 2016 as well before it ended, which we haven't had a nighttime parade since then, which is until now. So that's nice that was a pretty long gap. Gosh,
which ones had the most years then? Main Street Electrical Parade or Spectrum Magic?
Total. Well, looks like 91 to 99, I guess, and then 90, and then 2002, I guess, to 2010.
No, wait a minute. Is this which park is this? We're talking about in Magic Kingdom, right? At Disney World. Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's from 91, it says, when it started?
Yeah, it says 91.
Because it started with the 20th anniversary, basically.
Yeah.
I could have swore Spectrum Magic was going longer than that, though.
Huh. Well, I know it ended in 2010 because I remember seeing the last parade. Well, I wasn't there in person for that, but I watched the last parade.
But you're saying it went from 91 to 99, and then they had Main Street Electrical Parade for 3 years?
According to this, it said Main Street Electrical Parade ran from 77 to 91, and it was replaced with Spectrum Magic. But then it was brought back for stints in 1999 to 2001, and then again 2010 to 2016. So looks like for those 2 years, 3 years, it came back, and then Spectrum Magic came back again. Hmm. So I guess overall, looks like Main Street Electrical Parade ran longer than Spectrum Magic. But anyway, personally, I think Spectrum Magic is probably the best one ever. But
ever,
I would say, yeah. But I did see Paint the Night out in Disneyland once, and I thought it was great. I love Paint the Night, actually. The song is cool, too, of course. So that one is good. Tokyo has, so there's been different ones, like Disney's Fantillusion, I hear, is really good as well, which has been in Tokyo and Paris. I heard that one was good, but I haven't watched really that one, so I can't really judge that one. So what does your AI say is the top five?
Okay, I'm just going to run through right quick. You want me to go start at the bottom, go five up?
Yeah. All right, let's do, we'll compare AIs. What is your AI's number five?
So number five here says Disney Starlight. And the reason why, I guess, is because it launched just recently.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I guess that's kind of good because it actually outperformed some, you know, ones from that are no longer working, I guess. It says right here, why is number five launched on July 20th? Features Pinocchio, Moana, Coco, Encanto, and Frozen. Yeah, with the Blue Fairy as its narrative anchor. State-of-the-art floats. I'm just kind of going over it real quick. Standout features, advanced technology, heartfelt moments, and a focus on dreams as a unifying concept. The downside, some fans find the soundtrack less memorable than Paint the Night or Spectrum Magic, and it lacks the decades-long nostalgia of older parades.
Well, it's been like a week. Can yeah. we give it some time?
I know. Well, apparently that's what people are saying already. So,
right. But again, it's been a week. Let's give it time.
Number four is Spectromagic.
Oh, really?
The downside says outdated by today's standards and its absence since 2010 reduces its visibility for newer fans. Okay, I could see that.
Okay.
I'm just going to give that in the downsides because, I mean, it kind of describes what was in it, but I remember what was in it. And I could get it. It does. If I was thinking, the music is the most memorable thing about Spectrumatic, to be honest. They did have some really creepy, like, puppet little thingies that were all over the thing. You know what I'm talking about? You remember the wild hair?
White face thing. Yeah, they were like white face. Like,
yeah, like dolls from a horror movie or something.
Yeah,
That's true. So number three, put
balls.
Yeah. So put number three as the, it says Tokyo Disneyland Electrical Parade Dream Lights.
I see.
So that one that launched in 2001. I like giving the downside part because I'm just curious as to what people's criticisms are on it because it kind of summarizes that. It says limited to Tokyo Disneyland, making it less accessible, and some find its energy slightly less dynamic than Paint the Night.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, Main Street Electrical Parade.
The OG.
So okay. The OG, yes. I'm going to say the standout features on this one, too. It says standout features, timeless music, classic floats like the Sparkling Dragon and Universal Recognition. I don't know about the timeless music part. I mean, I guess it's very recognizable, but it's definitely repetitive.
It's not timeless, either. Yeah. It's very 1970s.
But I mean, depending on where you're sitting, like if you can't hear the individual floats part, all you hear the whole time is ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. It gets stuck in your head. Like,
I mean, it sounds like some of the repetitive music from like Nintendo or something.
Right. It's a very 70s style. Yeah. Feel to it. Yeah. But we loved it. Kids. I mean, that was,
oh, of course. I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying
we would recreate it at home. We'd try
Yeah. The downside, it says, is dated effects and simpler storytelling can't match the spectacle of newer parades like Paint the Night. They keep referencing Paint the Night. So I'm guessing that number one is Paint the Night.
Nice.
Disneyland, okay. Hong Kong Disneyland. So here's what they say the standout features are. Vibrant LED effects, catchy music, and iconic characters like Tinkerbell and Sorcerer Mickey. Downside, some fans miss the nostalgic charm of older parades and its intermittent runs limit its legacy compared to longer running classics. I guess because Paint the Night is not very consistent or hasn't been for a while, right? Yeah,
but I mean, that song is very catchy, so it's a cool.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And they, you know, they used IP music, which is not surprising for this era. I don't know how much, Owl City gets for. For Paint the Night
every
parade.
Time they're
every want time, but
you have to give them $5 every parade. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know how that contract works, but
good point. Maybe they just get like free Disneyland passes.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, he's probably got to be set for life. I mean, he gets popular with that one song. He basically used a Casio in his dad's basement. I mean,
yeah,
to write the music with. So
pretty crazy. All right, well, here's what my AI ranked them as. So number 5, it was the Electrical Parade Dreamlights from Tokyo. And so many who have seen this insist it's the ultimate evolution of the Electrical Parade with astonishing flows, perfect music, takes the nighttime parade concept to the next level. But since most of its glory has been in Tokyo, we've left, so like you can't really see it. It's harder to see, I guess, is why I put it at 5. Number 4 is the newest, Disney Starlight, it says.
Which okay, so I had it at 5.
Debuted, so it put it at 4, saying, it's early days for Starlight, but the initial impressions are glowing, pun intended. The parade beautifully fuses Spectrum Magic's heart with Main Street Electrical Parade's whimsy, pun intended there, as well, because of the character. The music is gorgeous symphony that many find emotionally uplifting, and the new character lineup hits all the notes of nostalgia with classic characters like Cinderella, Peter Pan, alongside new favorites like Mirabelle from Encanto. Starlight's also a bit shorter than other parades, leaving a few wished for characters on the sidelines. Where Starlight truly shines is in its cohesiveness. Every float and song fits the central Starlight Dreams theme, making it feel like a complete journey.
Yeah, so Starlight, it seems, is fitting the modern day pattern of short attention spans, so they keep it
right
short.
Keep it short, yeah. Which I was trying to figure out, I haven't seen the schedule yet, so I may be missing it wrong, but I wonder if they had to move the fireworks from 9:20 p.m. because they've been running the parade 9 and 11 every night. Mm-hmm. In its opening week, I don't know how long that's going to last, but 2 parades per night so far, 9 p.m. and 11. I don't know if the fireworks are, if it's so short that it's over in 20 minutes, or that seems kind of...
Oh, it's very possible. It probably is.
To get from Main Street to Frontierland in 20 minutes, and then they start fireworks? I don't know.
Maybe they move faster, too.
I'll have to see what the fireworks... I feel like they at least pushed it to 9:30, right? I don't know. Not sure exactly.
How long did it normally take for one of the other parades to go from start to finish? Do you have a runtime?
I'd love to know. Let me look that up. Let me see if it has that. Maybe it does. But let me go back to my list. Number 3 is the OG Main Street Electrical Parade. Was that where you had it too on yours?
Actually, the OG was number 2, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so it was number 2.
So this one is it number 3 on my list. And yeah, talks about the soundtrack.
I think yours has been with you longer and learns what you want to hear. That's what it is.
And, right. Well, that's kind of what most of them do, is like tell you what you want to hear, but unless you tell it not to.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it talks about that. Yeah, we all know why. But of course, yeah, it's... I love how in the, I guess, the sort of cons section, it says it's a beloved dinosaur of a parade that paved the way for all the rest. Number 3 spot. All right, number 2 is Paint the Night. So Disneyland and Hong Kong, I guess, got it as well. So bursting onto the scene, Paint the Night quickly became a fan favorite. Most fun parade. Arguably the most fun parade, yeah. So no surprise for me, the number 1, it must know me, it's Spectrum Magic.
See, that's what I'm saying. It knows you.
It says, often hailed by Disney World veterans as the peak of nighttime parade artistry. And the reasons why it gave Spectrum Magic the top, it says, in a word, the music, the song on this magic night, and the accompanying Spectro score are absolutely gorgeous, grand, romantic, and filled with that special Disney optimism. Many fans argue no parade soundtrack before or since has quite matched Spectrum Magic's ability to tug at the heartstrings while still being whimsical and humble.
See, like, I don't know what it is. There was a time period when they were just better at writing music for these things. Yeah, you know? I can't explain it.
Most of it was though like Sherman Brothers, but back in the day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for instance, in that one, the On This Magic Night, so it didn't have the electronic sounding that the Main Street Electrical Parade did, which was part of that show's gimmick. I get it. It was, they call it the Main Street Electrical Parade because they were using lights, so they tried to make it sound electronic as possible. But like even the voice that introduces it sounds like it's from a computer, you know,
yeah.
If you recall. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Right. The synthesizer
probably presents something spectacle and something and imagination. The Main Street Electrical Parade. I can't do it very good, so. But anyway, Spectromagic. I don't even know what Spectromagic's intro sounded like. I think it was Jiminy Cricket, right?
Yeah, he was like the main voice of the.
Yeah.
Stop that Cheshire Cat. I think that's that story.
No. No, that's from a different.
Oh, sorry. Different.
That's from that CD-ROM game.
Watch out. And he said that too. I don't remember.
That's how repetitive those games were back then.
Yeah. It's an interactive CD-ROM.
Yeah. I was like, Tama. Ew, my muttering. That's why they only had so many phrases in The Sims.
Yeah, exactly. There's certain things you have to preload.
I know that still to this day, I think Spectromagic holds the top spot in my heart. So I agree with your AI's assessment.
Yeah, I think it's maybe our generational thing because we grew up on Main Street Electrical Parade, but I think we came to age during Spectromagic. So
it could be. I mean, I can understand. So I would feel like the results that I got is probably more accurate with the current Disney fan base, just because probably there was lots that didn't even see Spectromagic back when it was at its peak. They've probably a lot more people that have seen Paint the Night. I think it probably resonates a little more with the present day audience, don't you think?
Yeah. And so I did a quick check on the run times. Oh, I see. So it's interesting. It says the Main Street. So if you're sitting in one spot, it takes about 20 minutes for it to go by you. That was right. Main Street Electrical Parade, 20 to 25 minutes. Spectromagic was about 20. Disney Starlight's about 18. So it is shorter. It's gotten shorter each time, seems like. But it says from start to finish, Main Street Electrical Parade was about 40 minutes to 45 minutes going from the start to the end of the parade route. So that would probably mean Starlight is somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 minutes from the beginning of that to the end of the parade route, I'm guessing. So
what was the runtime for it to go by you for Main Street Electrical Parade again?
25 minutes for the, if you're sitting in one spot.
25 minutes sitting in one spot in 18, so 7 minutes per spot. Yeah, that's probably an overall. You said total runtime, though, was 45?
For
Main Street Electrical,
yeah.
Okay, so if one spot's, trying to think the equivalent, if for 18 minutes, it was 7 minutes less per section. Yeah, they could probably, do fireworks at like 9:30 instead of, back when they did the Main Street Electrical Parade, it probably had to be like 10 o'clock, I would imagine, right?
That's what I wonder. I wonder if they pushed it to 10, but I watched, I think it was JoJo's Log of the first night it ran. It was actually two soft opening days before the official opening day. So it's been running for several days. But it was, he said that, no, he watched it from like in front of the barber shop. And then when it went by him, he went to Frontierland and watched it again. So he got to Frontierland just as it was getting there. And watched the whole thing go by again. So he was able to watch the entire parade at the very start of it, when it was coming out on Main Street, and got to Frontierland just as it got there. So he watched it twice.
Yeah, I see.
So I guess that would mean if you're fast enough and you start at the plaza area, you could probably get to Frontierland in time to see it twice. I will hopefully get to see it and report back. I'll have a ton of chances to see it this weekend. Yeah. So
It's like, oh, I did a test run on the thing and it took me 20 minutes. I thought I could maybe push it up to 18.
Right.
Yeah. No. That's what I was thinking when you did the run times.
Okay, so right now, yes, Happily Ever After is at 10 p.m. So they pushed the fireworks to 10. So that makes sense. It gives the parade plenty of time to get through. People can then re-line up for the fireworks. So as of right now, Starlight at 9, fireworks at 10, Starlight again at 11. So there you have it.
There it is.
The nighttime spectacular is back at Magic Kingdom. I'm just happy that we've had too long of a drought. It's been almost 10 years. It was 9 years, right, since they had a nighttime parade. So too long.
Yeah, hopefully it will be good enough. I've never been really a fan of the daytime parades per se. I just feel like it kind of...
You know why?
Because I'm glad they hot. Yeah, I'm glad they exist because they draw people. So that's really one of the best times to try and ride something. But I've always preferred the nighttime parades. I guess maybe it's a little more enjoyable to watch a nighttime parade because A, it's cooler. And B, it's, I don't know, it's got lights involved, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've just never really been a fan of daytime parades, period. That's just me.
I wonder if they'll retire Festival of Fantasy. It has been kind of going on for a long time.
Well, I mean, they have a tendency to run some of them a long time.
Yeah.
And I remember it was a good 2 years or more past the ending of the celebration, and they were still playing Remember the Magic. You remember? They were supposed to spend that for daytime parade.
I got stuck in my head.
Now, that's a song that was memorable out of that one.
Yeah.
I got to say, out of all the songs they chose for those 5-year anniversaries, though, which they don't even do that anymore, I still think the catchiest one was the 15-year one. It just was.
What was that one again? Remind me.
You want me to sing it for you?
Sure,
sing it. That was the one that went, 15 years, we're having a party, Disney World. You don't remember that one? It was very 80s. But it had a hook.
How old was I?
It was very 80s, but it had a hook.
Not even born.
Whenever we went there, no, you were born. It was the 87 trip when we did that. So, yeah. But you've seen the video.
I don't look remember the parade.
You can find it. You can find it on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember.
To me, or maybe it was just the range that it went in. I thought it was more memorable than the 20th one. The 25th one was better. It was at least memorable.
That one I remembered most.
I don't even know if they did one for the 30th. I think that's when it faded out.
Probably stopped, yeah. The 90s is kind of when that ended, right? I think. But anyway.
Well, yeah, the 15-year song was very 80, but it had a very catchy hook.
Yeah.
It was very 80s style, I'll say, but it had a very catchy hook.
Hopefully we'll get to report back on Test Track and Starlight. So, looking forward to singing
to get alive and in person.
Yeah. So I'm going to time it too to make sure it's actually 18 minutes. We'll see.
Sounds good.
Anyway, so where can we be found out there?
Well, we have a Facebook, we have X, we have Instagram. That's all at TWTM Podcasts. We have Spreadshirt Store, which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. We also have a TeePublic store where you can get a shirt like what I'm wearing right now that you can't see. A Team Skyliner shirt. So, but where can we get all that, Adam?
Our website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast at travelingwiththemouse.com. You can find links to that and more there. And
don't forget, we're on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, you forgot to say that.
Yeah, I forgot to say that.
For John, my name is Adam. This has been Traveling with the Mouse. And we hope you will join us on our next trip. But not this one.
Not this trip. The next one. Whatever that is.
Rest in peace, Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that about Ozzy Osbourne.
What's his Disney connection? I'm sure Malcolm Jamal Warner went to Disney, but...
Yeah.
Most very sad.
Yeah, I'm not going to Warner going to pretty... Disney. Probably involved the Cosby Show, so.
Oof. Well,
probably
maybe
involved an episode of the Cosby Show.
That was in DC, so that they didn't do it then.
Oh, yeah, they didn't do it. That's right.